Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we give you, God, thanks in all things. Just like 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us to do. Oh, but Father, what about if we are being persecuted? And John 15:20 comes to mind, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Father, give us strength and wisdom and everything we need that we may faithfully endure what our future holds for each one of us. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. It's so remarkable to me that we never know which direction things are going to go in life, or even in this broadcast. Every week is different, either for what a guest will speak about or for what I am led to speak about. And that is why the Holy Spirit leads us, each one of us. And so persecution, why do I even think of that right now? I do not know. But I think back on the past 20 years, and I think of all the people right here in America who have had consequences for their beliefs. They've made decisions according to their faith, the faith in Christ Jesus, and they suffered consequences from our legal system or our society. Now, I have certainly heard about foreign countries, how the Christian church grows when it is persecuted. And I think that that is because people are seeking the truth. And what truer truth could there be than God, Jesus, of the Bible? That's the truest truth that there is. And that's my experience. It's also been my experience that as I have witnessed or read about persecution in the world, I have seen believers strengthened. And people have said that have been persecuted that while they were persecuted, they had a very close time with Jesus. And that if they had to do it all over again, They would go through the persecution again just to have that closeness with Jesus Christ. We can be glad that persecution is not a part of everyone's life, but persecution is a reality that we never know how or when it will occur in any of our lives. And we don't know what level of persecution it would even be. I think about that ancient Roman Empire, Diocletian. He ruled for about 20 years, about 300 AD, and he was very anti-Christian. He burned Christian Bibles and destroyed every symbolism that there was of Christianity that he could find. And it's said that that is the reason why there are no complete Bibles today from that time before Diocletian, because he had them all burned. It's probably true. Well, so we are struggling with the copies of Bibles today because the originals were burned. And so now in America, what's going on? We are still struggling with the truth, to find the truth of God and the Bible. And we try to use the past to know what the future holds. The future is a puzzle, and we do try to figure it out. I know last week on the broadcast, I said something about Genesis 6:9 and how Noah was perfect in his generations, how I had heard plenty of times that was referring to Noah's DNA as being unpolluted. And it was supposed to, by many, to mean that it didn't have any fallen angel DNA in it. But I met a man probably 5 days ago, but after that broadcast, when we had a very polite conversation, but he was a Christian, and he certainly did talk about that that part of what I was saying, and said, that's not in the Bible. Now, you might have got that from the book of Enoch, and of course, I agreed. What he said was true. It was not in the Bible, and you had to seek other understanding to get that connection. And I just wanted to say that we have to be so very careful how we determine what our beliefs are and make sure that it is biblical, because the Bible is our one true source of understanding, and we can look at other sources, but just to remember that any other source does not have the true authority of our Bible. So we can look and have fun with different concepts, investigate the things here and there, and that's good. That's fine. But just remember, the only real important part of what we believe and base our doctrine on is our Bible, our Holy Bible. And there's so many areas that are simply not addressed in the Bible. And we have to try to have understanding about what the different things mean as we understand the Bible. And there's lots of room for different opinions, even disagreements, and that's okay. But we don't have to base our fundamental belief and doctrine upon things that are non-biblical. And it's a little bit of a challenge sometimes, because there are plenty of things that the Bible does not address. And I think one of the things, for instance, is the giant skeletons that have been discovered, that had been buried centuries ago. Or, well, we just don't quite know how long, because there has been a great controversy for those giant skeletons. Many times they were 7-8 feet tall, or 12 to 14 feet tall, and even taller. So the Bible does not address that in specific. So we don't have to dwell on the giant skeletons or believe that there were giants, because that does not reflect on our salvation. And the very real issue that we will always have in front of us is the good news of the gospel and our salvation. So, do the giants matter? No, they really don't. And we can look at them out of curiosity. We can look at them as a real part of history. But it's not relative to the main message of the Bible, which is our relationship with God through Jesus Christ and our salvation. So, yes, believe. Yes, look at the matters, but remember that it's not as important as fundamental Christian doctrine. I do believe that there were many giants inhabiting the earth, but they were not human. And I came to that understanding from folklore, Indian legends, or what has been passed down through the American Native Americans. And I remember there was a video by L.A. Marzulli, who in that video examined certain skulls in South America. It was a private collection, but there was a good video recording of these elongated skulls and these especially large skulls. What was observed in that video, and it was clear to see, was that the bone structure of those elongated skulls were completely different from the bone structure of any human skull. And there's never been a difference in how the bones of the skull have been put together. Those have been the same for thousands of years. Ever since we've known humanity, it has had one manner of bone structure of the skull. But these elongated and large skulls had a completely different bone structure to the skull. So, that sure points me into a direction to say there were certain creatures. Sure, call them giants. Call them a different non-human people. I don't know what to call them. But to me, it's an indication that there have been giants on the earth. And there are other evidences as well, which have been some very, very large skeletons discovered in the last 100 years, in the last 1,000 years. I think of the two, they were like 36-foot skeletons that were recorded in antiquity as being uncovered when there was a flood near Carthage, North Africa. So they were unearthed and written in history, but we don't know where those skeletons are nowadays. But we know there have been skeletons of especially large size in many places of the earth. In Switzerland and in Italy, there have been skeletons that have been over 20 feet in, well, you can call it height, for that's how big those beans would have been. And here in Americas, in the North America and the South America, there have been hundreds of skeletons that have been unearthed that are 8 to 15 feet tall. And in Asia, too, we just don't hear about them for some reason. But if you look, you will find the news releases from centuries, from 100 years ago, the 1850s or 1800s, there were quite a few of them. But it's a non-essential issue. Giants, do they exist? They seem to, but it is nothing to do with our salvation message of the good news of the gospel. So, well, there's another issue that people seem to focus on, and that is unidentified flying objects, UFOs. And there is evidence that they have been around for 1,000 or more years. When you look at the art, you see them. You see them in art. Some of the oil paintings that have been done in Europe. You see a strangely shaped craft, and they're just placed there, just on the occasional oil painting. Well, they are unidentified, and we do not know what they are. We can speculate and try to understand, but we really don't know. We can look at what the UFO researchers of recent times have discovered. And we try to put it together if we are interested in them. But again, it is nothing essential to the gospel. It is nothing essential to our salvation. So if it was in the Bible, it would just take up a lot of unnecessary room. I happen to think the most likely answer to what these UFOs are somehow it's an evil manifestation that probably has come from another dimension. But it's an unknown, it's a guess, and that's all we can do, is guess. Does it matter? A little bit yes and a little bit no. It can get our attention, though. I remember Chuck Missler said something quite along these lines, and that's what he was thinking in that direction about the UFOs. So, yeah, it's interesting, but not essential. And certainly we don't need to have any attention paid to it in our Christian walk. So, evidence is a big question. We don't quite know what to say about evidence. Is there a cover-up? Don't know what to say about that. But I do think one of the stories that I heard some years back, I heard the testimony of two UFO researchers who had been researching UFOs, one for like 12 years and one for 15. They had been really tied into that UFO community. And then they realized the reality of Jesus Christ, and those two researchers became Christians, and they were strong Christian believers. What I remember about that as being so notable was that they said that when an abduction had started, there was nothing that a person could do to stop that abduction process except to call on the name of Jesus and then the abduction would stop. Very interesting. So they anyway, as they were doing their research those decades ago, well, let's see, they were at least 7 years ago, maybe eight. Well, anyway, that's an interesting part that UFO researchers had come to that conclusion, and that Jesus was the most powerful source in this universe. So, there's quite a lot of things that we can look at and be distracted by, but we have to recognize what is essential and what is non-essential. The Bible, the good news of the gospel, is essential. And so many other things are non-essential, and we don't want to get distracted from Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel. And that's what so many things in life are about. They are distractions. And we get distracted by just the ordinary things in life. Often enough, it's relationships or emotions. Oh, and in the Bible, we know relations and emotions are written about very often. But we have our orientation to stay faithful to, and that is Jesus Christ and the good news of the Bible. So we can be concerned with all sorts of things, but put your priorities in order. Don't be too concerned about the unusual subjects that we get confronted with in life. Remember, our focus is upon Jesus and the good news of the Bible. And there sure is a lot of things in the Bible that we can learn from. But let us always remember to focus on our relationship with God Jesus. That is the important thing. And all the while, we do live in the world, and we do have the worldly things to contend with. God allows trouble to come into our life. Why? Yes, I wonder about that sometime too. And I think about one of the themes in the Bible is that God wants a relation with us. He wants us to talk to Him, and that is often done in the form of prayer. So that conversation, well, just think about this. When we have good times, do we think about God and our prayer life and asking God for help, asking God for answers? Yes, pretty much we do. When we're going through a difficulty, we seek God and His understanding, His comfort. And when things are going good, too often we ignore, we forget about Jesus and forget to give Him thanks, God Jesus. So that's a part of why I think we have troubles in life, is so that we really pay attention to God and have that prayer relation with Him. Now, we do know that at the end of this age, we will see a lot of difficulty. There is a lot, and it'll become more difficult as time goes on. That's what we see in the Bible, and we can try to understand it and try to understand how to prepare for that. That's one of my themes, too. I like to talk about preparedness, but the whole thing that is important is our relationship with God through Jesus. And sometimes these troubles will motivate us into an action that is for the furtherance of the kingdom of God and our relation with God. So we just look around. The world is certainly full of, let's say, troubles. And we know that there's all sorts of things that could be happening soon. I like to think of it in terms of things are getting ready to go snap, crackle, and pop. So we'd better get ready and see what we want to do about the trying times that we surely can expect to be coming about. We can pray and ask for insight for what we best do to prepare for the coming days. But the Bible does tell us about what we need to know. And the biggest thing is that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Well, perhaps when we know that things are going to be bad, we will be motivated to interact with the world and spread the good news of the gospel. And of course, do not become fearful. That's the message of the Bible over and over. Be not fearful, or fear not. We know that there are things coming, but fear doesn't do any good. An action to prevent what is coming is good. I think of if there was a fire coming over the hill towards me and my home, would I be fearful, or would I think about what ought to be done? And we can have a moment of fear, but don't let fear turn your life into an inaction. You need to do something. You need to be a part of the solution for what's coming at you. And that's what I think about when I see the words of the Bible and what they describe as coming this way before the end of the age. Let's do something to ease the problems that we can see coming. And you can look at that in a biblical sense and see so many biblical warnings, or you can just look around at the natural world and you can see that there are things going on. Forbes magazine reports that there are 44 volcanoes erupting in the world right now. And obviously none of them are big enough to impact our environment of the world, but it has happened in the past that the volcanoes have erupted and their ash that has been put into the atmosphere has cooled the earth so much at one point that there was a year without a summer. That year without a summer was written about in many parts of the world. The one I think of is in London, because that's at sea level where it should not freeze very much, especially in London. But if anyone left a glass of water outside overnight in July, it would be frozen the next morning. And that was because of the ash in the sky from the volcano. So will it happen again? We surely do not know. But it could. And with all the volcanoes that are erupting now, well, it's just an indicator of what could happen, and that we can have a little bit of prevention for just in case it does. Now, there are earthquakes going on also. No doubt you heard about the Alaska earthquake. Was that about a week ago? It was a 7.8. 7.8 is not small. And if you recall, there were two earthquakes in California. One was the Northridge earthquake. And the other one was the Loma Prieta earthquake, 1989 and 94 they were. And they were about a 6.8 on the Richter scale, and the one in Alaska was a 7.8. So that was, the Alaska one was 10 times worse in power. These things are going on, and we could have that giant earthquake going on any time here in the United States, too. So that's a part of preparation that we can each have. There will be changes in our world before the end of the age. We know that. It's in the Bible so very clearly. We will have disruptions in our spiritual world as there is a struggle between the good and evil, God and Satan. So we can also just plain look at what is going on in the world around us. You know what's going around us. Strife, even riots, and people that are demonstrating to the point of, violence, disruption. Last week there was a demonstration where there were lasers pointed at the police who were manning the barricades. And those lasers caused blindness into what I think there were four policemen who suffered blindness. Now, that probably is not complete blindness. Probably that is where there is one area in your field of vision that is blank. That's probably the blindness that they were talking about. So they can still see, they just can't focus. It's a pretty serious thing to do that kind of harm to anyone. And it's bad stuff going on. Bad stuff is going on in our world. And we are having some pretty serious events going on in many areas. Certainly in the financial arena, there is bad stuff going on too. It's going to affect us for years. I just heard a message from that retired congressman, Ron Paul. He is on the videos from time to time, and he is very concerned about what is going on in our country. And he has been for a few years. He was a congressman for 22 years before he retired. He was on the House Banking Committee and the Foreign Affairs Committee in Congress. So there is a lot that he had an understanding about. And again, now he is saying, look out, there is trouble right around the corner, and lots of people don't see it coming. I know those are my words, not his, but that is pretty clearly what he was saying. He was talking about how unprepared we are to meet a financial problem, saying that 50%, half of all Americans, have borrowed so much that they have a negative net worth. And a lot of that is from student debt. And student debt is one of those debts that we cannot be bankrupted out of. It's going to stay with us. And it's going to be payable. And a lot of people have such student debt. I've heard it said that a young person's debt after college or university is around $60,000. That is a lot of debt, no matter how you look at it. All the while, America is in economic distress, with 40 million Americans receiving food stamps. Things are getting tighter and tighter, more and more difficult economically for Americans. And as the young people feel that pain, I think we ought not be surprised if those young adult voters, they vote in a manner that's going to alleviate their financial hardship. And pretty much that means they are going to believe the, well, I think of them as false promises of a socialist presidential candidate who would promise everything but deliver nothing. This is a common theme among many parts of the world. Promise them everything and then deliver nothing. This is a very socialist and communist form of doing things. And of course, we know that in all politics. It's not just socialist and communist, but all politicians do something like that. It's just worse for the socialist communist candidates. But for the warnings that Ron Paul is giving is that there could be panic and violence in the streets. And that's something that we can all pay attention to, because we want to be prepared for whatever is coming. And certainly the virus that is present right now is causing a lot of anxiety in our lives. It's causing politicians to take steps that have effectively never been taken before for such a relatively minor thing. The death count is not as great as we would have been led to believe, even though the number of cases is growing dramatically, really. But somehow we have to come to terms with what is going on, and do we want our society to change? Do we want government to be so strong that they're going to monitor all of us? I know that The Department of Homeland Security has proposed that they would have the means to track every single citizen. And of course, that's because of the COVID-19 coronavirus, that they could then track every citizen and their contacts so that they would know who might come down with coronavirus, COVID-19. And we have to really think hard if this is a real danger, enough that we are willing to give up the freedoms that we have and instead be monitored and watched so very closely as a society, as a member of society. Well, we are moving towards a very watched over and monitored society. And it has come from the big issues that we have faced. For instance, 9/11, 2001, that attack was a very big issue. And there were laws that were passed that changed our freedoms. The same thing happened after the 2008 financial, well, it was a near collapse of our system. Laws were changed, and things were able to be more restricted. That's what the laws were about that were passed as emergency measures. Again, now, after this coronavirus is going on, we are in danger of having laws pass that will never be removed. So what are we allowing our politicians to agree to? Are we going to give up some more freedom yet again so that we might have a little more security? Well, you've probably heard that Benjamin Franklin quote, "Those that would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary liberty deserve neither liberty nor safety." Well, we can just take it to our hearts and our minds and see if that's what we are doing. Are we giving up some essential liberties by the laws that we are passing during a crisis period of time? We've done that over and over again in the last 20, 30 years. So where will it go? We don't know. But I think we should cling tightly to the liberties and freedoms that we do have. We are facing crises on different fronts. One of those crises is with the United States dollar losing value. Every day it is losing value. And every day we print more and more money electronically or with currency. Oh, there was Ron Paul who was saying something like, every day we print $125 billion. They're created out of thin air. $125 billion created every day on a computer screen. Well, that's what I heard Ron Paul just say. I heard another financial fellow, let's see, I forgot his name, but he does the money GPS, and he was saying that the Federal Reserve balance sheet has been increased from $4.2 trillion to over $7 trillion. That's a $3 trillion increase in something like a year. So, you know that that's going to mean inflation. It just has to. The more currency that is created, the more we will have an unstable money system, unstable dollar, a dollar that loses value, and that means more and more inflation. Hyperinflation, even. That's the way it works. Well, it's a tactic that we have seen used for a few thousand years, and it's always had the very same results. It's been done over and over with the very same results. So we know that there's going to be hyperinflation at one point. We just don't know exactly when. What month and what year? We don't know. It happened in ancient Rome when the value of the denarius was reduced because the emperor took the silver out of a denarius. He kept minting them, but not with real silver. So we know that that is a part of devaluating the money, and when that happens, the money fails. And the next thing that happens is the nation's economy fails. It's been happening over and over in history, and that's what we can be sure is going to happen for the United States also. It is an economic law. It just has to happen. The thing is we don't know when. We, the regular people, can only do so much. Now, we know those big financial guys, they can manipulate the system. They know, they have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen next. But we, the regular people, do not know. We just have to make our best understanding of the situation. And I think the best thing to do is follow the biblical advice. And we know the biblical advice is time proven, and we can apply it in our life. And that is to have no debt and to have savings. Easier said than done, but if we don't even have it as a strong goal, we can be sure that it will not happen. That's just the way life goes. If we just go along with life, well, it goes its own way. Let us try to make the directions in our life so that we can be stable as much as possible in an unstable world. To me, I clearly see that a form of stability is to be able to have what we all need to maintain our life. Just stay alive. And that is clean water with passive water filter. Water, food, and warmth. Those are essential to life. And in the summertime, we get used to the summer temperatures. In the wintertime, we get used to them. But we still have the temperature that we have to deal with, and that is why warmth is a part of that list also. In the wintertime and in the rain, the warmth is something we have to struggle to maintain. So you just pay attention to that. We have enough things to contend with what our wants are, but let's not forget the water, food, and warmth. We think about all those nice things that we want for our home, maybe redoing something in the home, or having a nice car or something. There's lots of things that we can do with our money, but I think that one of the things that we do is to preserve our future, and that is with savings. That savings can be in the form of food. It can be in the form of tools. It can be in all sorts of forms. But we think about being stable in the time that is to come. So the best way to do it is for you to come up with your own ideas. You have good ideas, and you know what is the most suitable to you and what you want. But you have to think about it. You have to put some effort into the process, and there's always decisions to make for how much money you spend on what and what you're willing to accept. All the decisions are they're good decisions, but what do you want? Do you want 3 days of food? Do you want 3 weeks of food, 3 months of food? And if things are really going to happen of biblical proportion, well, we want even 3 years of food. I don't know. Every one of us thinks different. And you have to consider that, where you can store it, what you want. Just questions. As we go along, we do see visions of the future. We listen to people that have had the visions of the future. And I do think about the numerous people, and I've talked about them before on this broadcast, prophetic Christian people who say they see Russian troops and Chinese troops here in the United States. It has been said that they are here, they are invited here at some future time to help this nation keep order, that they come after a period of domestic violence and a huge natural disaster like an earthquake. And then those troops refuse to leave. So with that in the back of my mind, I have to think about the events that are going on today. One of them that I think about is in China. Right now, it's having its own problems in China. Northern China is having a drought, and many crops are failing, just dying right in the fields because of that drought. At the same time, in southern China, they have been having some huge floods. And China has been going on for about 2 months now with heavy rains and huge floods. It is China's wet season that typically lasts for 2 months, certainly between mid-July and mid-August, a little longer and shorter. But this season has been longer and heavier than normal, and the rivers have reached overflowing levels. The Yangtze River, such a big river, has reached its highest level in 50 years. The Yellow River is also flooding, and the Huai River is also flooding. So three mighty rivers in China are flooding. Farmland is flooding. Villages are, they're being isolated because of the floods. And some of them are being evacuated also. There is a danger right now of that great big dam on the Three Gorges, there is danger of it being broken. That Three Gorges Dam has been begun 25 years ago and was completed 15 years ago. It's a huge dam. And if it fails, there will be so many floods all through China and even other countries. There has been numerous reports in the years from when it was being constructed about shoddy workmanship and inferior materials being used to construct that dam. Well, we don't know what really is true, but there is a concern that that dam will not hold. And if it would have a catastrophic failure, so many lives would be lost. Millions, for sure. And even right now, today, there with the flood waters rising, there have been 200,000 people evacuated already. And the farmland has been overflowed, lost. There have been levees that have been broken through. And very much wheat and corn has been catastrophically lost. So, will starvation become a major outcome? You know it could. And there is speculation that we can make about what those Christian prophetic people have said. If the dam were to break, then there would be a great hunger and famine in China. And I think those officials would be anxious to send their soldiers overseas, like to America. Is it the perfect storm? It might be. It might be coming up. And the thing that we can do is just protect what we know how to do. And I think of life. We all need life, and to have life, we need, well, of course, air, but after that, water, food, and warmth. And that's why that's on my list. Water, food, and warmth. There are lots of people who would like to come to America, which is the land of plenty and the land of riches. And you can be sure that soldiers would like to come here also from other poor countries. Will it happen? I don't know. But I've been surprised at the number of people who have had those prophetic dreams and visions. Well, we have things to be considering, and that's all we do. We make the best decisions we can. We see all sorts of problems in China. Don't be surprised when you see problems. There are everywhere problems, but in China also. We know that there is a certain amount of difficulty, in for one thing, because of the infanticide that has gone on with a one-child policy, and there were so many boys there, not enough girls, not enough wives. And that's another reason that soldiers might want to come to America, to find a wife. Well, just a question. Who knows? We don't even know what the future holds, but it's a possible. We see in China there's things that are going sideways in their economy. We see the economy slowing down drastically in China. And there has been so much corruption. Why, in the last, this year, there have been three bankers that have been convicted of corruption. One banker had $60 million in cash in his home. Another banker had $10 million in currency in his home. And another banker had $38 million in currency in his home. So there's something going on here, and it seems to be bribery. That seems to be the source. So the point is that things are not real good in China. There's corruption. There is an authoritarian structure. There's a lot of things going on with the Chinese Communist Party that is really bad for the people of China. And we should be aware that that's a part of the Chinese economy, that it has corruption and it will have troubles. We have to be aware of that, because those things can cause instability in a country, and we have to be aware of just what's going on around us. It's a fact. We know that there are rights that we have, and we want to take advantage of those rights and liberties in our Constitution. One of them is that Christianity is it's religious freedom in this country. But in China, we think about the anti-Christian movements that are going on. The government is trying to stop anything where the people believe anything more than the CCP, the Communist Chinese Party of China. Their government has been actively destroying Christian symbols, crosses, pictures, anything Christian, and destroying the Christian churches. And they've been doing that with the Muslims too, and with the Falun Gong people also. Why? Because the Chinese government does not want anything to threaten the communist authority. And we can just be aware that that's going on, and we can be thankful for the rights that we have. We have strong Christian government in the Western civilization, and a part of that is our Christian heritage. So let's stand up for our individual rights and our strong government, definitely. There are many troubles facing the world, and that's why I talk about the different governments in the world, because there are troubles going on in many countries of the world. We can guess at why. To me, I see that they're not Christian first. But now our country is becoming not Christian first. And what does that mean? It means consequences. It means that our money system will be shaken, and we will have a crunch going on all around us. Difficulties, hard times. What else can it be? We see the patterns that are similar to the 1930s Great Depression. A lot of people are saying we are due for another Great Depression. We see the political unhappiness and instability with people rioting, demonstrating, federal troops being called in. There's a lot going on. A lot of people are fearful, and this current virus is also causing people to be fearful. When people are fearful, they do not make good decisions, and we have to be aware that that is a factor of what is going on in our society right now. But we can still take comfort in the Bible. There's reminders that we are not to put our trust into men, but into God only. Oh, that's Psalm 146. There's another, Proverbs 3:5. That's one of my favorites, to put your trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Well, there's a lot that we want to do in life, and always to put God first, Christ first, and that is what we do. Remember that our life, and our eternal life especially, is with Jesus Christ, and we want to put him in the position of supreme importance. If there is a part of this broadcast or another past broadcast you'd like to listen to again, by all means, go to www.christtoday.org, and that is all lowercase and no spaces. And if you'd like to get my preparedness pamphlet, write to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.